on shortwave, AM, FM, and the internet. This is PCJ. Yeah! It's now time for the Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perrone.
Oh, no!
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome again to another edition of the show. It's really nice to have you with me for the next 55 minutes. We actually have a number of things to get to today. A little later on in the show, Peter Anthony Holder will be joining us to look at some of the odd news headlines that he's been paying attention to for his program, The Stuff File. And we're going to begin with a little bit of class. Now, what I mean by that, as you know, if you go to www.pcjmedia.com, we have a poll that's running. And you can leave your comments, suggestions, and everything. And if you do that, you'll have a chance to win one of two Wi-Fi radios, which I'll tell you about a little later on in the show. Anyway, one suggestion that has been coming in from a number of people is that we don't play enough classical music on the show. So we're going to rectify that in the first half of the show. I have with me, standing by on the line, is a young pianist. He's only 11 years old. He's going to be 12 years old next year. Obviously, next year. His name is Ali Monson. Now, you have no idea who that is, obviously, but the last name may sound familiar. Well, Ali is the son of David Monson, former host of Brussels Calling on Belgian Radio International. And Ali was born here in Taiwan, but is now relocated to Germany to study classical piano. He actually started playing at the age of 4 years old. But back in the month of October, we recorded Ali here in Taipei playing this wonderful grand piano. And for an 11-year-old, I have to say he is quite good, very talented, and also likes to inject his own style in playing. And we'll have a couple of tracks that we recorded with him back in October, so stay tuned for that. But to begin, we're going to commence with the Academy of St. Martin's in the Fields, directed by Sir Trevor Pinnock, with Johann Sebastian Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 3 with the first movement. Thank you. Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 3, the first movement, played by the Academy of St. Martin's in the Fields, directed by Trevor Pinnock, or rather, Sir Trevor Pinnock. Anyway, David Monson's son, Ali, has been studying the piano since he was 4 years old. He studied a number of years here in Taiwan. And just a couple of months ago, David, his father, and his mother headed off to Germany, where David is going to get more of an education in classical piano. Now, I've heard a lot of young people around the age play, but David is very unique because David is sort of he's a bit of an entertainer. He likes to entertain. In fact, one of his personal favorite entertainers of all time, he said, is Victor Borge. So we're going to take a listen now to a recording that we made of Ali back in the month of October, and then Ali's going to be joining us on the line from Germany. Let me ask you, I mean, you're 12 years old. When did you get interested in the piano?
When I'm 4 and a half.
4 and a half? What happened? You were like, you saw a piano and you just started banging at the keys?
Not really. When I'm 3 years old, I had a small little digital keyboard and I used to play on it. And maybe one day I played something and it's good and I started a piano lesson, and it went well.
Now, with the stuff that you're learning and what you're playing, what is your favorite?
Bach and maybe some Gershwin is very nice.
Oh, really? And when you play Bach, I mean, there's a lot of kids your age that are studying Bach, but they play it the way it's written on the page. Do you like to also, like, sometimes improvise or add your own thing to it?
Yes, I like to imitate Anders Schiff. He's a good Bach player, and he makes a lot of his own style in the music. He puts many truths, and sometimes I will put in my own truth too to make me happy.
So here's another question. I mean, there's so many great pianists out there. Who are some people that you enjoy listening to?
I like many pianists, but my favorite pianist is maybe... Yes, Glenn Gould is the best.
Really?
Yes.
And why?
Because he is very special and he's very original, and I like his playing, and he... I don't know why, but he plays Bach extremely well, and he plays it just the way I like it.
Now, I mean, what are some of your other interests? I mean, you don't just play the piano 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right?
Our interest is sports and playing football and basketball and soccer. Soccer is football, yes, and swim. Maybe sometimes I like to do some my own adventures, like walk in the forest and walk with my friends, hang out with my friends, maybe. And yes, and I like history too, and I like Mythbusters.
So wait a second, you just said you love Mythbusters? Actually, that's one of my favorite shows.
Yes, I love them. They make all experiments that I love, like the rocket car and like, I only know it in Chinese because every day I watch on YouTube. I'm a great fan of Mythbusters.
Right. So, I mean, with all your playing and Bach is your favorite composer, you actually had a chance to visit Bach's grave, correct?
Yes, I went to Bach's grave last year in Leipzig and in the St. Thomas Church, and it was nice.
If you were to think, like, in the future, your future, right? I mean, do you just want to focus on being, say, a concert pianist, or do you also want to do, you know, are you also interested in other aspects of music, like, let's say, like, conducting or composing?
I don't really know what I'm going to do 20 years from now, but I know, certainly know that music is going to be part of my career.
Uh-huh.
And maybe I'll do something else, but music will always stay.
That was Ali Monson playing one of the Bach variations. And by the way, we're going to be releasing a CD from PCJ of those recordings that we made. And you can actually show your support for Ali and his education by buying one of the CDs. And we'll give you out more details later on. You can find everything at www.pcjmedia.com. All right, now time for a little bit more classical music because somebody suggested they want to hear maybe some George Frideric Handel. So here's George Frideric Handel's The Arrival of Queen Sheba, performed by the Rotterdam Baroque Ensemble. Thank you. Rotterdam Baroque Ensemble with George Frederick Handel's The Arrival of Queen Sheba here on the International Happy Station. If you want to check us out online, please do so. Our website is www.pcjmedia.com. And if you are a member of Facebook, just do a search for PCJ Media. Come in and join the group. And don't be afraid to add me as one of your friends on Facebook. You know the spelling of my first name, and my last name is spelled P-E-R-R-O-N. That's P-E-R-R-O-N. Just the other day, I received a copy of the latest edition of Monitoring Times. And this is an interesting article because they asked me to write something, and you can find it on page 18 and 19 of the latest edition of Monitoring Times. The story is called The Most Unlikely Radio Career. A Most Unlikely Radio Career. And you'll find some pictures that I sent them, as well as the full article, and that is in the latest edition of Monitoring Times. Now, some of our listeners in North America who've been tuning to 9955 kilohertz, which is Radio Miami International, may have heard this little promo.
Hello, I'm Paulette Macquarie in Vancouver, Canada.
And I'm Keith Parent in Taipei, Taiwan, inviting you to join us for the first monthly installment of Media Network Plus from PCJ on October 23rd at 100 hours UTC on 9,955 kilohertz Radio Miami International.
Each month, we will look at the headlines and behind the scenes in shortwave, medium wave, FM,
long wave, satellite, and much, much more.
Media Network Plus from PCJ, October 23rd.
At 100 hours UTC on 9,955 kilohertz, Radio Miami International.
For more details, go to www.pcjmedia.com.
This is PCJ Radio. That's right, the first edition of Media Network Plus airs October 23rd at 100 hours UTC on 9,955 kilohertz. Now, I should mention that this program is in no way affiliated with Media Network or Jonathan Mark's Vintage Media Network. It is going to be a monthly supplement put together by Paulette and myself because some people requested. They said, well, if you're running Media Network, maybe you should do an update program every now and again. So we came up with that idea. So it will be a monthly feature from PCJ. And if it goes well, who knows? It may turn into a weekly program. But it will be airing on shortwave. That's October 23rd at 100 hours UTC on 9,955 kilohertz. Now time for a little bit more music. When we come back, Peter Anthony Holder is going to be joining us for a look at some of the odder headlines in the news. But first, here's Jimmy Cliff. And I Can See Clearly Now on the International Happy Station.
Thank you.
Joining us now is Peter Anthony, holder of the Stuff File program that you can hear right here on PCJ as well as a number of other places. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Keith.
How are you doing on this fine day?
Just tickety-boo, Keith. Just tickety-boo.
You know, we were just talking a moment ago. That's something you came up with yourself, by the way?
I didn't come up with it myself. I've just something I've always said as a broadcaster. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, what are some of the odd things that you have for us today? And my first question is to you, do you have anything about sex?
Kind of, sure. Because I know how your mind works. So we'll start there.
How my mind works and how my hands work. But anyway, that's another story.
And I hear you're ambidextrous. But anyway, a 50-year-old businessman in Italy has earned the title of creepiest ex-boyfriend in the world. He was so hung up on his ex-girlfriend after she dumped him that he paid $18,000 to recreate her as a life-size sex doll. Now, our obsessed friend put together a collection of photos of his ex and told Italian adult toy maker Diego Bortolin, "I just want to make her, but with bigger boobs." Bortolin makes his living creating extremely realistic sex dolls at a factory behind his shop, which, by the way, the shop is named Temptations. Normally, he charges around $5,000 for the dolls, but this particular project was more expensive because, as he put it, we had to replicate everything right down to the shape of her nails and teeth.
Ooh, that's weird.
Yeah, and this story, of course, since I'm reading it, it's made the wire services, it's made the papers, it's out there all over the world. The girlfriend, or ex-girlfriend, must be aware of this now. How does she feel?
We should call her up and find out.
I don't think so.
You know, a few years ago, I remember there was a TV show in Canada. I don't even know if it's still on anymore, but it was called Sex TV out of Toronto. And they did this feature of about 15 minutes on people that buy life-size, lifelike sex dolls. And how there were some people actually having, quote-unquote, real relationships with them. It was just odd.
Did you use the money-back guarantee on yours?
We'll talk about that after the show.
Okay. Moving right along, in what could be a first in American law, Arizona attorney Charna Johnson may face disciplinary action after an investigation found that she told a client she was channeling his dead wife, then told the client the wife wanted them to have sex. She then allegedly lied about it during an unrelated disciplinary proceeding. Johnson began representing the client in 1999 in divorce proceedings after meeting him in a ballroom dancing class. The client's wife committed suicide the following year, and Johnson handled the probate matters. Now, according to a report, within days of the death, Johnson began telling her client that his deceased wife, Jan, had come to her and that Jan's spirit was inside her and that she could communicate Jan's thoughts. The client testified that Johnson pressured him to have a sexual relationship, although she told the investigator that the references to sex were coming from the deceased wife, not herself. The report recommends Johnson be suspended for 6 months. And by the way, that last sentence of the story, to me, as bizarre as the story is, that's the creepiest part. The fact that this nutjob lawyer can actually do this, and they're only suggesting she stop practicing law for 6 months, which means she could have clients again at some point. That's the scary part.
Okay. All right. You know, I mean, imagine using that as a come on line in the pickup bar. You know, I have a message here and the spirit is telling me I need to sleep with you.
Yes. If you're channeling somebody who's dead, do you have call waiting? Can you channel two people at the same time? I don't know how that works.
And also, does that fall under the category of necrophilia?
Ooh! The way, again, I say, folks, the way Keith's mind works. That's what I'm hoping. Anyway, every weekend for the last 4 years, parishioners from the New Beginnings Ministry Church in Warsaw, Ohio, have gathered in front of the Foxhole Strip Club in nearby Newcastle and tried to shame customers by photographing them and posting their license plate numbers on the internet and brandishing hellfire-threatening signs. Well, recently, Foxhole strippers joined the duel. congregating on Sundays in front of New Beginnings, wearing bikinis and see-through shorts, dancing scandalously, squirting each other with jumbo water guns, and wielding their own Bible-quoting signs to greet the day's worshipers. I definitely think this story could come under the headline of Tit for Tat.
You can actually say that and really mean it this time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you know, it's easy, Keith, to avoid the tax man if you're a witch, and also easy if the presiding Senate happens to be terrified of witches. In Romania, lawmakers of the ruling Democratic Liberal Party drafted a law where witches and fortune tellers would have to produce receipts, pay taxes, and would also be held liable for wrong predictions. But the Romanian Senate voted it down because apparently many of the lawmakers were frightened of being cursed. Maria Campina, a well-known Romanian witch, yes, a well-known Romanian witch, told TV reporters it is difficult to tax thousands of fortune tellers and witches partly because of the erratic sums of money they receive. Really? I mean, ladies, it's called a ledger. Perhaps you can conjure up a spreadsheet, maybe even buy Quicken. Just a few thoughts. Feel free to jump in and cast a spell or two.
Oy vey. Well, actually, you know what? I think they really voted it down because they were getting in touch with people who've passed on that the Senate, you know, they were afraid of, you know, sexual relations or something.
I don't know. Maybe they're conjuring at people who still owe money in taxes.
Oh,
okay.
Work hand in hand.
Yeah, a man in a banana costume, and boy, if I had a nickel for every story I started with that sentence, is accused of exposing himself and brandishing a shotgun while riding around with a bunch of friends in Washington State.
So two bananas.
Only one person wearing a banana costume. The Clallam County Sheriff's Office said the 21-year-old was arrested for investigation of indecent exposure and reckless endangerment. Police first received a report of the costume man exposing himself at a restaurant. Sheriff Sergeant Randy Piper says that they also drove through a Port Angeles neighborhood where the man got out brandishing a gun. Now, after his arrest, authorities said the man couldn't explain why he was costumed. Well, I mean, doesn't everyone have a banana costume? The other man also was arrested, but an 18-year-old woman who was in the car was allowed to split. Get it? Allowed to
Oy
split.
Vey.
The banana costume, by the way, was seized as evidence.
That gives a whole new meaning to, are you happy to see me? Is that a banana in your pocket?
There you go. To Virginia, a driver has been convicted of animal cruelty and fined $100 after Virginia authorities found a goat stuffed in the trunk of her car. Bedford County Sheriff's deputies discovered the goat bound and in the trunk during a drunken driving checkpoint in June. And when cops stop people in drunk driving checkpoint situations, I'm guessing they never anticipate livestock in someone's trunk. We talk about the adventures in police work. Anyway, Fiona Ann Enbury of Washington, D.C., told police that she bought the goat from a farmer to give to four passengers in her car who are from Kenya but residing in Lynchburg in central Virginia. What the Kenyans were going to do with the goat, your guess is as good as mine. Maybe in your case, Keith, even more sordid. The goat was panting heavily, and animal control officers said the temperature in the trunk was 94 degrees. Who had a thermometer? But anyway, the goat is now living in the Bedford County farm.
Okay. You know, I spoke to a friend of mine not too long ago, and he used to work as a police officer, and he said to me, because he was on a force for about 25 years, he said he can write a book about the strange things that have happened to him.
I've had guests on the program who've written books just like that who are police officers. So there you go. It's already been done. In Moorhead, North Dakota, and how'd you like to live in Moorhead, North Dakota?
Is Agnes from there, by the way? Anyway, joke.
No. But by the way, sidebar, Moorhead, North Dakota is also the home of the Bald Men's Institute. Just thought you'd like to know that.
I should go there.
Yeah. Anyway, in Moorhead, North Dakota, police had to cite 37-year-old Catherine Margaret Watson after she allegedly walked into a downtown Walgreens store at about 5:45 p.m. wearing only a thong, pasties, a partial green towel, and whipped cream. She had come into the store to actually buy some shaving cream and told police that she was a free thinker and was trying to make a statement. She said she wanted to catch people's attention and get them to think outside the box and not conform to society's views. Ms. Watson later admitted that her actions might have been a little over the top. She was cited for indecent exposure. Okay. In July, the prominent BrewDog Brewery in Aberdeenshire, Scotland, began producing the world's strongest and most expensive beer called The End of History, which is 55% alcohol and sells for £500 a bottle.
That's Wait a second, 55%?
That's, you heard me. And sells for £500. That's about $780 US a bottle. As if that weren't enough to enrage both anti-alcohol and animal welfare activists, BrewDog released the first 12 bottles taxidermically inserted inside the carcasses of roadkill, 7 ermines, 4 squirrels, and a rabbit. Said company founder James Watt, BrewDog aims to elevate the status of beer in our culture.
Really? Okay.
I saw
a dead chicken on the road yesterday. I should just send it off to them.
I wonder. Now we know why it crossed.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's have fun with electricity. New Hampshire teenager Kyle Dubois was critically injured in March when, during an electrical trade class, he and fellow students attached clamps to his nipples. Bring back memories, Keith. And plugged in
actually, from last night. But anyway, that's another story.
And plugged in an electrical cord. Dubois suffered permanent brain damage, and in August, his parents sued the school district and the teacher. Still in fun with electricity, as an alternative to the surgical scalpel, zapping a penis with electricity can produce a cleaner cut and with much less blood loss, according to a team of doctors from the Institute of Biomedical Engineering in Taiwan. Best of all, their July report noted, since the experiments are too risky for ordinary test volunteers, they performed all procedures on themselves.
All right. Well, it seems like Mrs. Bobbitt actually has something else that she, a new way of removing items.
Talk about taking one for the team.
And also, this is going on in Taiwan. I have to find out more about this.
There you go.
I'd like to see them do the experiments, actually. I think that'll be rather interesting.
Oh, so you'd like to watch. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, why not? You know, okay. We get our jollies from one way or the other.
Apparently. What's currently clamped onto your nipples right now, Keith? No, never mind. Okay. As you know, if you listen to our show on a regular basis, we occasionally have the Darwin File stories.
Right.
As the Darwin File, as I like to say, the tree of life is often self-pruning.
I can't get that out of my head now. I'm even saying it to people.
So there you go. Well, this one you may have actually read because it was big news a couple of days ago because it involved a very prominent person. And okay, you're not supposed to laugh, but this is deliciously ironic. 62-year-old Jimmy Heseldon is a British millionaire businessman who owns the firm Segway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was found dead at the bottom of a cliff with one of the two-wheeled electric scooters near his body. The incident, described as a freak accident in the media, was not being treated as suspicious. Heseldon, a former miner who left school at the age of 15, became a wealthy businessman, donating millions of pounds to charity. Now, just last month, he gave 10 million pounds to a community project which helps disadvantaged areas. Media reports said Heseldon was one of Britain's richest men, with a fortune that's put at 166 million pounds. Now, I'm guessing sales, since the story is now out, I'm guessing sales of the Segway will now plummet, much like he did.
Mm-hmm. Ay, ay, ay.
And speaking of people on the move, a bank robber in Vancouver, British Columbia, here in Canada, was handed a small amount of cash and made his getaway using a walker.
Yeah, I heard that story. You mentioned that story on your show.
That's... Well, I've mentioned all these stories on the show. Obviously, I've been paying close enough attention. It's not every day you get a 75-year-old male on a walker holding up a bank, according to an RCMP spokesperson. The unnamed robber was caught about 45 minutes away, and I'm guessing...
45 minutes away?
Yeah, but I'm also guessing probably about 45 feet away, too.
well,
how far you get with on a walker?
Well, not just that. I mean, if he was caught, say, 45 minutes away, does that mean, the police were, using crutches instead of walkers? I mean...
I don't know. Now, here's a story that deals with prison, and I was about to say, I know you haven't been to prison, but I don't know that. Have you been to prison at any time?
Not in real life.
Well, I'll just move along. Now, it can be a very good feeling when you get locked up in prison and you notice that they have a condom vending machine. The San Francisco County Jail's San Bruno Lockup authorities have installed 16 condom machines for the jail's 750 prisoners. It's just the latest evolution in the safe sex program that began in 1989 when health workers began distributing condoms to inmates as part of their counseling before they were released. Now, although, by the way, sex among inmates technically is illegal, the sheriff's department went ahead and installed the 16 machines anyway because, seriously, who are we kidding? As for the chance that all those machines will actually promote jailhouse sex, well, Kate Monaco Klein, who is directing the program for the city's public health department, said the sex already takes place. If providing condoms saves one or two lives, it's worth it. Now, I tell you, if some people were terrified of going into prison, seeing those machines would just freak them right out. That's not the place where you want to make a new friend. This is a place where the term "I've got your back" has a new meaning.
Exactly.
Do you like beauty pageants?
Not really. No, I get annoyed with them.
Well, maybe you like this one. Organizers are preparing for what is believed to be the first ever pageant exclusively for young ladies convicted of mafia-connected crimes.
What?
Yes. It's a Miss Mafia pageant, and contestants are allowed to post their pictures on the contest website only after submitting a police mugshot to prove their background. Other vital statistics submitted to the judges in Budapest, Hungary include their actual charges and time spent behind bars. One finalist, identified as Anna, said, "I was told by my friends several times to go out for a beauty contest, but I couldn't because they rule out anyone with a criminal record." The winner, who gets a car and a free apartment in Budapest, will be decided at a finals pageant at a bar that was once bombed out in a mafia clan fight. One organizer proudly bragged, "We have thieves, fraudsters, gang members, bank robbers, and swindlers, so it should be an interesting night."
That's an understatement. And finally, Peter, what about our idiot of the day?
Oh, I don't necessarily really, really have an idiot of the day, but I thought I would leave you with some of the things that that are left over in the lost and found. How would you like that?
That sounds great.
Well, passengers who ride Scotland's fleet of Lothian buses leave behind some pretty weird stuff. The company says the oddest lost property found on board includes a pair of breast implants in a bag.
What?
A stuffed seagull, a robotic talking monkey, and a dummy head. Additionally, staffers find about 110 cell phones a week, 20 iPods, 20 school bags, and several gaming consoles and laptops. Only 60% of the lost swag is ever reclaimed. And, I don't care about the fact that only 60% is ever claimed. I just want to know if somebody came back for the breast implants. and how do you walk up to the counter and say, excuse me, has anybody found breast implants?
How many people walk around with, not inside them, but how many people, have in a bag some breast implants? Say, oh, yes, I'm just going to a party.
Even if I worked at that counter, I would have to ask the person, just to be facetious, I say, oh, really? Yeah. What size? Like, you had a variety in the back somewhere. Like, it happens all the time. People lose breast implants.
Ay, ay, ay.
By the way, is that the wind in the background, or are you just glad to see me?
Yes, actually, no. Right now, as we're recording this segment, we're having this tremendous amount of wind, and there's one window somewhere, and I can't locate it, but it's not closing right, so there's this like whistling noise. It's okay. It's okay. It's one of the witches that we were criticizing earlier that's come back, you know.
Wait a minute. You can't find one of your windows?
No. I know where the windows are, but there's one window that is just not closing right, and I tried figuring it out earlier, and I gave up.
Oh, okay. Whatever floats your boat. It's time to take those nipple clamps off, Keith.
Oh, please, come on, just for another few minutes.
Oh, man.
Peter Holder, thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And if you want to find out how you can listen to Peter's show, go to our website, www.pcjmedia.com. We still have time for one more piece of music. And last Saturday, as I was driving around, this song came on the radio, which was a total surprise to me because it's a song that I'd forgotten about. I think the last time I heard it was probably, in the mid-1980s. It is a great song, and it is a favorite of so many people out there. I found out afterward when I was trying to locate it. The song is called Israelite, and it's performed by Desmond Dekker.
Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed. Call me Israelite, sir. Up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed.
Oh, me Israelite.
Wipe on my kids, step back up and I leave me. Darling, she said I was yours to receive.
Oh, me Israelite.
Shut them a tear up, chose his ago. To end up like Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, the Israelite.
After a storm, there must be a calm. If you catch me in a farm, you sound your alarm.
Oh, the
Dekker, Israelites, ending today's edition of the show. All right, I gave out our website just a moment ago, and by the way, just to tell you, you can have a chance to win one of two Wi-Fi radios by taking part in the survey that we have at our homepage, and pretty soon, actually, that radio will be on sale at the PCJ shop, which you can also find at our website. Anyway, if you want to contact me for suggestions, comments, or even music requests, yes, I'll play music requests. I know I was sort of against it for a while, but some people said, you know, it would be nice to do. Right. So anyway, this is how you can get in touch with me. The email address is pcj.happystation@gmail.com. That's pcj.happystation@gmail.com, and I will do my best to find the songs for you. Let me see. What else do we have? Oh, yes, something I just found out. totally by accident. Kevin Lee, who is our technician, sitting on the other side of the glass, apparently has been recording all the outtakes of this show. Yes, and I didn't know he was doing it, but he was saving them all. And the reason why I found out about it, because not too long ago, somebody said, why don't you do an outtakes show? And I said, by the way, did you record any of our outtakes? And he said, well, listen to this. Apparently, he's been recording every single outtake that we have done since March 2009. And right now, by the way, I'm glaring at him through the glass. So we will use some of them on the show. I say some of them because some of them, well, we can't air. Maybe, however, we will upload some of the ones that we cannot put on air on the website. And you can use your imagination of the language I may have been using during them. We'll beep them out, of course. But it should be interesting. Some of them, Kevin, by the way, I totally forgot about. I really totally forgot about. Some of them are rather funny. You know, not too long ago, as I may have mentioned, I occasionally will bring my dogs to the studio. And one time they just went crazy because somebody walked in the control room. And they went ballistic as we were recording an interview, which was very unique. Anyway, that's it. That's all we have time for on this week's edition of the show. So thank you to Kevin. Also, thank you to our production assistant, Johan Backer, for doing a wonderful production job as always. So on behalf of them, this is Keith Perron saying so long. Au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
I'm Paulette Macquarie in Vancouver, Canada.
And I'm Keith Perron in Taipei, Taiwan, inviting you to join us for the first monthly installment of Media Network Plus from PCJ on October 23rd at 100 hours UTC on 9,955 kHz Radio Miami International.
Each month, we will look at the headlines and behind the scenes in shortwave, medium wave, FM,
long wave, satellite, and much, much more.
Media Network Plus from PCJ, October 23rd.
At 100 hours UTC on 9,955 kHz, Radio Miami International.
For more details, go to www.pcjmedia.com.
This is PCJ Radio.